Why get all your holiday decorations delivered through Instacart? Because maybe you only bought two wreaths but have 12 windows. Or maybe your toddler got very eager with the advent calendar. Or maybe the inflatable snowman didn't make it through the snowstorm. Or maybe the twinkle lights aren't twinkling. Whatever the reason, this season, Instacart's here for hosts and their whole holiday haul. Get decorations from the Home Depot, CVS, and more through Instacart and enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
This is a HeadGum Podcast.
You got mail.
Tamaris.
And I'm Elise Morales.
And this is
Go Touch Grass,
the podcast where we log in
so you can log off.
Elise and I are two chronically online comedians, and on this pod, we break down the week in internet discourse, viral memes, TikTok trends, and niche influencer drama so that you can literally do anything else with your time.
Literally anything else. Like, listen to more of our podcast, because yes, if please. You like what you hear today and you want to hear more, we've got a Go Touch Grass Patreon already up and running with our test episodes, mini trending topics, a weekly newsletter, and our spin-off series, Search History, where we go back and break down a viral discourse from the past.
And y'all, please don't forget to leave us a 5-star rating and review. We love your reviews. We need more of them. But really, the best review you can give us is to tell your friends about our podcast. We're trying to grow our little itty-bitty podcast that could. Mm-hmm. And truly, word of mouth is the best review we could get. If you like it, tell a friend. Say,
absolutely.
I know these two mentally ill Hispanic women.
Yes, that's how we've been billing ourselves lately. Yeah. And I think that really works.
Hispanic Heritage Month is coming and we're fucking prepared.
Heritage Month is in September to October. We're preparing.
Yeah, we're getting
more mentally ill by the day.
Yes. Mental health and Hispanic heritage.
But seriously, tell your friends about the podcast. Do a little story. Tag us. We'll repost your story.
We'll repost
shit out of your story.
Elise knows there is like people who comment, like, DM us to be featured on New York Live Daily or something. I was like, should we DM them?
I fell for that on one of the accounts that I run. I do social media management for. They were like, can we share to our thing? And I was like, sure. And then they're like, DM. And then they're like, you can pay us $100. Oh, like, yeah, God damn it.
You made
me feel like a fool. Okay, one more housekeeping
note.
One more. So, guys, next week, we will be off. We're going to release a Unlocked Patreon episode. We're going to be commemorating mm-hmm. the birth of the United States in mm-hmm. a measured and nuanced way that mm-hmm. takes into account the total history of the United States.
I don't think so. I'm going to drink Bud Light.
And that's your right.
Because that's the gay beer, first of all. And second of all, I love the US of A, you know?
and you guys clip that, share it. Mm-hmm. We will repost mm-hmm. it. But yeah, we're going to have an Unlocked Patreon episode for you next week. It's going to be super fun. My other housekeeping note that I did want to say just up top before we bring in our guest mm-hmm. is that I have to hold myself accountable mm-hmm. in this moment. I already held myself accountable on the Patreon. But last week, mm-hmm. I corrected Millie's pronunciation of Chasse Lounge, and I said it was Chase Lounge. It's actually Chaise Lounge.
Yeah, and I said that sounds more because Chase Lounge sounds like
one of a Chase,
yeah, or like an airport terminal, like Chase Sapphire Lounge bullshit.
Yes. Chaise is the appropriate. So
I thought Chasse.
Chasse sounds beautiful. It took us 3 weeks to get here, but we got here.
And
that's a journey that we went on together.
You publicly corrected me. You're publicly walking it back.
I'm publicly correcting myself. I will hold myself to the highest standard.
Now, how did you learn that it was Chaise Lounge?
So I actually knew that. And then when I was listening back to the episode, I was like, I'm saying it fucking wrong.
Okay. So it wasn't a DM. Because we get DMs that are like, you guys are wrong.
And it's like, oh, cool. So anyway, yeah, I respond. But my friend Tyler, who is our friend of the pod, did also text me, but I knew he was going to text me because he speaks French. And I was like, he's going to tell me. Oh, he's going to hear this and he's going to tell me. And he did tell me, but I had actually already heard it for myself. And I had actually already held myself accountable to myself.
Well, and there you go. So we're going to have, thank you for that, Elise.
Yes.
And again, we have unlocked Patreon next week in commemoration for the greatest country in the whole goddamn world.
Not a single problem with
not it. A single problem, nothing problematic about it, okay? But we promise it's going to be one of the good ones. Speaking of one of the good ones,
wow.
Our guest today is comedian, writer, singer, actress, and content creator, parentheses complimentary, Jess LG.
Wow. Thank you so much. Thanks for having me.
We're so happy.
Which pronunciation of Chaise Lounge do you like the best? The correct, the Millie, which is Chaise, or Chase Lounge, which is
because I said in context, I said Penelope Bridgerton was getting fucked on the Chaise Lounge.
When Penelope Bridgerton's getting fucked on it, it is a Chaise.
It's a Chaise Lounge, baby.
Well, yes, but as the proud owner of a Chaise Sapphire card, I do have to say I love a Chaise Lounge.
Oh, wow.
That's so true, because you can get into the Chaise Lounge with your Chaise Sapphire card.
It's pretty incredible in there.
Preferred, yeah.
And also, when you get in, nothing but Chaise Lounges.
Wow.
It's incredible.
That's such a beautiful connection.
You almost make me want to pay my credit card bill. Almost. Just to people who are unfamiliar with you, now, I would describe your content as adult theater kid core audition-based comedy, but I'm curious how you would describe your own content to the untrained eye.
Well, unfortunately, that might be a great description of it. Yeah, you know, it's like a variety show in a person. You never know if you're going to get a serious song or some stand-up or some characters. I'm unreliable above all else. But no, I just, I can't be tamed.
Yeah, what you say unreliable, we say diversified content portfolio.
You gotta diversify the content.
Because, you know, sometimes people just pick one thing and then you'll be like Flawless Nina harassing Gypsy Rose.
Mm-hmm. That's what we talked about last week. And we did talk about, like, sometimes these algorithms, the app, they want you to just do one thing over and over again. Yeah. But you've said, no, I'm not going to do that.
And that's your God-given right as an American.
Yeah. I'm throwing a lot of content spaghetti at the wall.
Yeah.
I feel like you had one super viral video that was you doing like slam poetry at Christmas, Thanksgiving, holiday related slam poetry.
Yeah. I have this character that's like the poet laureate of the family. Mm-hmm. And it's like a Christmas themed poem. And it was fun. I like wrote it not during Christmas at all. I just thought this would be the right time to set it.
Yeah.
And so it was like weirdly hitting in like July of whatever year I wrote it. And because it was like even stranger that I was doing a Christmas themed bit. And then I was like, I'm going to try to re-upload this around Christmas time. And shocker, it did even better.
Wow. Okay. It's okay. So because sometimes I'm like, should I re-upload? Does re-uploading work?
I think it does.
I feel like the testimony here is that
yeah,
it does.
Yeah.
Work.
And also some like truly like musicians I follow, like Lawrence, like this incredible band. Mm-hmm. You heard Lawrence?
Millie's the one who knows cool music.
Check them out.
I never know.
Yeah, they're incredible.
Elise famously has Meghan Trainor came up on her Spotify Wrapped, and we won't let it go.
Yeah, and that's something I've also held myself accountable
for.
I love it. But Lawrence, there's this incredible riff that Gracie Lawrence, one of the singers in the band, does during their song Freckles. And they've posted so many videos of it, but it's that good that, like, it's going to get a billion likes every single time.
We never, like, talked about, to that note, we've never talked about the Flyanna boss. Hello, Christ. I'm in the city. And it's just them, like, running through the mall.
And they just run everywhere.
And run everywhere. And it's just, like, that same song. And they must have done it 500 times. Yeah. But it's like, you know.
And you know what? I watched every single one.
And you watched every single one.
If it ain't broke.
If it ain't broke, exactly. But that's why it's commendable, amazing that you also have this diversified portfolio because, you know, again, another example, you could be like, sometimes people find something that hits and even if it's not authentic to them, they'll keep doing it. Like Sarah, the girl who faked being Amish for TikTok.
That's something we talked about as well. Someone, you know, you make one Amish video, it's hitting. Suddenly you're like, I guess I'm Amish.
I'm gonna ride this Amish wave.
Then you get called out for not being Amish.
Yeah. Okay, speaking of your diversified content, as one of your Instagram followers, I'm aware that you are in the midst of doing the viral, like, workout life reset known as 75 Hard.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm such a sucker for all things of that nature. A 30-day challenge. Elise, yeah, like, loves a 30-day
challenge.
I love. So was it the internet that influenced you to do 75 Hard? What is 75 Hard?
What is it first?
What has posting done for your 75 Hard? Tell us everything 75 Hard related.
Tell you everything. So it's a challenge that my wife has done successfully a few times.
Wow.
And yeah, she's an inspiration. She's so good. Like, when she sets her mind on something, she's great at it. I, through various internet quizzes, have found that I maybe have ADHD and I cannot stick to it. And so I've tried to start it a few times, but always just get, like, bored or distracted. And I'm like, ah, screw it. And I give up. And the challenge is 75 days straight of 2 45-minute workouts per day.
Crazy.
One has to be outside. But otherwise, it's like, I love about this challenge, it's very choose your own adventure. So the workouts don't have to be particularly intense. So it can be like 2 45-minute walks.
Yeah,
I'm not doing like P90X twice a day. And then it's like a gallon of water, which is so much water. Like a progress pick, like a weigh-in, just to like kind of like get out of your head about like you know, like letting like the scale not be an enemy or whatever. And I haven't been posting about like numbers because I know that's like really, anytime I'm watching someone who's posting like, I don't know, like body image or like workout stuff, the second they mention numbers, I'm like, oh, okay, this isn't for me. Like,
That could be so triggering.
Totally. And so I'm like, I'm like for my own personal log, I like have all that, but I'm not sharing like, this is how much I've lost or whatever. What's the size I am now or whatever. And then a diet plan like of your choosing also. So like, I'm just trying to do like high protein and like a little bit of a caloric deficit. But it can also be something just as simple as like,
I'm gonna be gluten free
for 75 days.
Of course, Elise would be so into that.
I messaged you when you started 75 Hard to be like, I just finished my 30-day yoga challenge. And the big thing with it was that at the end of every day, you got a sticker and then you put your sticker on the board. And like the level of motivation that I derived from the sticker was unbelievable.
It's like a proven psychological thing that people love to get the like outward celebration. Can you tell I like work part-time for a life coach? But yes, it's a true proven thing that people love that shit. That's why it works for kids. Like,
And I'm just finding more and more these days that I like, I'm such a delicate psychological profile. Like, truly, sticker, happy, no sticker, sad. Yeah. It's sunny, I'm happy. It's rainy, I'm sad. Mm-hmm. Like,
we're all children.
I'm just like a flower.
Most people are, but that's really great. So, have you seen like a difference, like, in
I mean, I play softball every Saturday, and I'm hustling even harder than I was before.
Wow.
It's really fun. And also, I like post on my story every day just to hold myself accountable so that I like don't get distracted. And it has, without even really being super intentional and to a greater degree than I thought it would, made everyone I ever talk to be like, oh, wait, how's 75 Hard going?
I mean, truly. Yeah. I was like, we were talking about, oh, what are we going to ask Jess about? I was like, she's doing 75 Hard. Yeah. So we got to talk about 75
Hard. I'm like, all right, Elise, nothing about her work or anything.
I think you can do that question on top, but then I got to talk about 75 Hard.
Her accomplishment. Okay, 75 Hard. Let's
75
go.
Hard?
And it's like a discipline challenge, which is cool. Just prove to yourself that you can do 75 days of anything. It's pretty wild.
Yeah.
Well, thanks, Jess, for that. I'm going to walk a lot today. And so speaking of discipline and lack thereof.
Wow. Millie's known for her transitions on this podcast. She does great segues.
Can I just say that I matched with the guy on Hinge and we were chatting and then we got to the thing and he's a podcast engineer and I told him that I do podcasts and we were just chatting and then I'd be like, so while we're talking about this, and he's like, you need to stop potting. Like, you're potting too hard. And the segues are too much. And I'm like, I can't pot his life, babe. I'm bringing a roadcaster to our date. Okay. So speaking of lack of discipline.
Okay.
before we dive into the discourse, I have to say, in an effort not of accountability or but in transparency. Mm-hmm. Last week, Elisa and I recorded the Patreon a Patreon episode of our popular segment, What the Musk, where we deep dive into the latest Elon Musk shenanigans. Mm-hmm. There's always so much that, it needs its own episode every like few months.
It's had to become a separate Patreon.
It's had to become a separate thing because it's whatever. So, and I've also like just have covered Elon Musk a lot. So it's just, so we've covered a lot of stories. So on Friday, we covered a lot of stories, including the Wall Street Journal's expose on how Elon Musk coerces his female employees to sleep with him and asks a lot of them to have his babies. And if they say no, he sabotages their career.
Really cool stuff.
Really cool Very stuff. Cool.
Yeah.
So after the episode comes out, Elise sends me a tweet that says that one of his employees has birthed yet another child of his, making this his 12th child. Mm-hmm. So what does Millie do? Millie quotes tweets it and puts that like, well, this is his MO. He likes to ask every single white female employee that he finds attractive if they'll have his babies.
Because he's like great replacement theory guy. Like he wants to repopulate the earth.
This is why it needs its own episode. The whole thing is, why are we talking about this now? That tweet got 5 million views.
Oh, my God.
It has 87,000 likes. Oh no. And it got a shit ton of comments by people who can only be described as Elon Musk stans. I will probably make a video ranking my favorite replies and comments, but I did want to tell Grass Nation how I spent my weekend. And it was with these guys who are saying that I'm just jealous that I can't have sex with Elon Musk.
No. No, Millie, that's not true.
No, they're like, you're just jealous. And so many of the fans are like, I'd let him get me pregnant. Who wouldn't want to get them pregnant? I want Elon Musk to get me pregnant.
Yeah.
And then it was a lot of obviously there's a lot of like, you're just ugly, you're just fat, you're just stupid, whatever, right? My favorite was someone who defended me and was like, wow, I love how they're all talking about how fat and ugly you are when Elon Musk is also fat and ugly. And
no.
Thank you so much. We could have done without the also, but I see it. And he was like, oh my God, sorry, it wasn't intentional. I'm like, you're only digging yourself into a bigger hole. Thank you so much.
Thank you for coming to my defense. I don't love kind of the phrasing.
Oh my God. So, sorry, that was meant to be a private thought.
So yeah, guys, thoughts on that before we get to
I feel like maybe it was Pat Regan talked about this one time of posting a video where everyone was like arguing about his voice being too gay, and someone responded and they were like, yeah, he's not funny, but it's not because of his gay voice. Like, it's because it's just like, oh, cool, thank you.
Gay guys are allowed to be not funny.
Have you seen Will and Grace?
Have you ever gone bad viral before?
Oh, good question.
It's okay if it's too painful to speak on.
Well, you know what? This wasn't like fully bad viral, but it was also like, it was like an accidental viral thing, mm-hmm. which is I just saw a list of all the people that Azalea Banks has publicly feuded with once.
Oh, well, that's incredible. Yeah, amazing. Mm-hmm. And she's a cultural critic of our time and also batshit crazy.
And I just said, it's a simple pitch. I just said, a music festival, but it's only people who have publicly feuded with Azalea Banks. And then I just read the list, and it includes like the entire nation of Ireland.
Of Ireland, yeah. Okay, all this stuff. The Ireland, there's a bunch of nations too.
But yeah, it was a lot of nations. And as I was reading the list, I was just trying to get, like, I think this was when TikTok could only do 60 seconds.
Yeah.
And so I was just trying to get, it's a long list, all the names in 60 seconds. And I had to read it as quickly as possible. And I was not yet familiar with the works of SZA and RZA, who spell their names all caps, SZA and RZA.
Well, I don't want to victim blame, but.
Yeah. And so as I was reading it, I'm like, the entire nation of Ireland, SZA, RZA. And then I like continued and people were like, you did not just say SZA.
Yeah. Wow.
RZA.
Well.
Well, it happens. You know, that's the thing is sometimes you're just throwing stuff out there and you don't mean to. I will say that the kind of flip side of what Millie has been going through is that my wedding photographer posted a video of my wedding. My wedding was 3 years ago. Sorry, the wedding videographer posted a video of me and Danny, like our vows, where Danny's being very funny in it. A million views on TikTok and Instagram right now. And
so everyone's like, oh my God, I love love.
Everyone's being so very sweet. Nice.
I'm like, you fucking fat slut. Why don't you?
You look like Elon Musk.
Yeah, why don't you fuck Elon Musk?
Which is the two sides of virality. But there was part of me when I saw it posted and started, like, it started doing numbers that I was like, there's a non-zero chance that I wake up tomorrow to like 20,000 stitches from people being like, I'm a body language expert, and you can tell she feels unsafe. And I'm like, oh, good God.
I know. Yeah.
It could have gone bad.
Could have gone, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, would I need to make like a body language expert friend and send them my videos before posting?
Yeah. To be like, are you giving anything? Does this
read how I'd like it to read?
Yeah. Well.
God bless the internet.
God bless the internet.
That we make this podcast about it and that we also have to engage with it every day for our careers and our lives.
Well, speaking of sycophants, let's get into the discourse.
Today's discourse. Great.
So, this week's discourse surrounds Nara Smith. She seems...
Are you familiar with Nara Smith?
Not yet.
Wow. See, I'm going to call you in and say, you need more black people in your FYP. You don't know how to say SZA. You don't know how to say RZA. You don't know who Nara Smith is.
There's I'm a listening and I'm learning.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You're listening and learning, okay? As I get canceled for Tried Month. This week's discourse, but guess what, Jess? I'll say this. It's okay that you don't know, because this podcast is about telling people and informing. Last week, we got a text that said, I didn't know who Gypsy Rose was until you guys talked about it on your podcast. So yeah,
we introduced someone to Gypsy Rose Blanchard for the first time, and they were like, wow, I'm Googling this, and it's pretty crazy.
Whoever that was that said that needs more white people on their FYP. Yeah,
exactly. And sadly, they're a white person. Maybe this is why Elon Musk feels the need to repopulate.
Yeah, because there are white people out here who don't know about Gypsy Rose Blanchard. Yeah. Like, we're losing our grip on the culture.
Yeah, white people are losing their grip on the culture. But speaking of white okay. Nara Smith seems to be a recurring character in 2024.
Yes.
TikTok discourse specifically. For those unfamiliar with Nara Aziza Smith, she's a Lesotho German fashion model and social media personality based in the United States. Smith is well known on her social media accounts for cooking mini vlogs in which she prepares meals almost entirely from scratch in extravagant clothing and narrates them in soft-spoken voiceovers. She's currently married to model Lucky Blue Smith, who's a Mormon, and they both currently live in LA. She has 8 million followers on TikTok and 4 million followers on Instagram. In the past 8 weeks, she's made toothpaste, ketchup, lollipops, and bubblegum from scratch. Like, that's what she's... So yeah. Nara seems to spark all kinds of conversations, right? Is she a trad wife? If you don't know what trad wife is, we have... Elise has an article in Jezebel about it, and also we have a whole podcast episode talking about the phenomenon of trad wives. Is Nara Smith promoting Mormonism, right? Because... her man is Lucky Blue Smith, family from very prominent Mormons, and talk about unproblematic histories. Mormonism is one of them. And by unproblematic, I mean extremely problematic. A lot of people there's discourse about is a lot of the hate she gets because she's a mixed race black woman. We'll put a pin on that. And also, finally, who needs to make Cocoa Puffs from scratch? Again,
these kind of are the fundamental
questions. Cocoa Puffs with monk fruit. Do we need this?
Yeah. Yeah, what's her culinary background?
Well,
she seems, I mean, listen, I do watch these videos. She's pretty fucking talented with the cooking.
And it's also just like, it's not just like completely from scratch. It's like from scratch and also like... all ingredients like Erewhon. It's giving like Erewhon and Whole Foods, like high quality, like organic shit, and also from scratch.
She's very beautiful. She wears extremely beautiful clothing. A lot of her videos, she'll be wearing like like a marabou robe, like one of those robes that has like feathers on
yeah.
the end.
Yeah,
and
or
stuff.
Like honestly, fresh off runway stuff.
Yeah, like well, I saw one recently where I was like, this is a joke because she looked like Cressida Cowper in like the latest Bridgerton series, yeah. like Giants Leaves and stuff. And she has all a very white. Like West Elm kitchen, like it's giving very wealthy. And then and the formula for every video is like, my kids woke up this morning and they said that they wanted a grilled cheese sandwich. So I got started right away making the bread. And like, yeah. it's her.
Making the bread, making the cheese, making the
yeah.
butter.
Making the cheese.
Yeah.
Making the cheese. Okay. Making the cheese. We'll get back pinning that. Usually we can just chalk up a lot of the discourse to people hating and not getting her because at this point she isn't on the joke. She's kind of trolling people. It's really funny. She has whatever. But I fear that the discourse this week might have legs because Nara Smith has been accused of stealing content from South African creator Onezwa Embola.
Oh, my goodness.
Embola is a South African TikToker who posts a video of herself making food and drinks from scratch. Her vibe is completely different from Nara's, where Smith, you know, Nara, cooks from a minimalist LA kitchen in polka dot reformation dresses. And Bola appears to live on a farm in South Africa and uses ingredients that she says she's grown, raised, or foraged. And Bola's following of 500,000 is a small fraction of Nara's millions, though her commenters do seem to frequently compare her to Nara Smith. So let's talk about the mozzarella cheese incident.
Oh my goodness.
In February, a video that opened with a clip of Embola milking a cow, Embola said on a voiceover that she has been, quote, likened to content creator with a huge following because that's who people associate cooking from scratch with on this app. Citing accusations, so people first accused Onezwa of stealing Nara's stuff.
Mm.
And Onezwa had to say in one of her videos where she made mozzarella cheese, she said, neither Nara Smith nor I are the first people to make mozzarella cheese
That's
from
so
scratch.
True. That's so true. they are not the first people to make mozzarella cheese.
But she did post that her mozzarella cheese video was posted one day before Smith's video on mozzarella cheese appeared. Onezwa said, I don't need to steal content. And still the video caption clarified that she has all but love for Nara and she didn't want to be compared to her or accused of stealing her ideas. So Onezwa and so every time Onezwa would post something, people were like, you're copying off Nara Smith. But what happens is that every time Nara Smith or every time Onezwa posts it, one or two days later, Nara Smith will post a similar video that might be, quote, just different enough.
Mm.
So, Onezwa would never compare themselves until Bobagate. This is what's going
to
happen.
Wow, okay, so we've had already the mozzarella cheese incident, and now we're moving to Bobagate.
So this is what we're going to do. I'm going to play two videos.
Okay.
First, I'm going to play from Onezwa, and we're going to narrate a little bit of what's going on. I'm going to double speed because, again, like, this is all slow cooking and it's a lot. So there are goats. She's milking a goat. She's putting the goat milk in a pan. She's kind of making some kind of cheese with the goat milk. She's, like, using a cheesecloth. Now she's got a guava. She's picking a guava, putting the leaves. That's the leaves for the tea and the guava. She's now blending the guava. She made it into a paste. Now she's adding the guava paste into a pan, mixing it with tapioca starch and cooking it. And now she's making, that's the boba pearls.
Oh, so I forgot we were even talking about boba here. I was just completely.
Yeah.
She's making boba pearls, guava boba pearls. And she made with the guava syrup. And now she's adding her goat milk. Wow. So, yeah, you guys get the vibe, right?
Like, okay. Yeah. She made guava boba pearls, which is pretty fucking impressive. Yeah. I don't know how to do
any of that.
Any of that.
I wouldn't have.
So,
absolutely. It just ends at the boiling of the water for me at this point.
So now, that was Onezwa's, right?
Okay.
2 days later, Nara Smith posts this.
Oh my God. I'm like on the edge of my seat. And Jess, let us know if you recognize Nara once you finally like see her.
You ever had a craving that you can't stop thinking about until you actually have it? I've been craving boba.
I've not seen this woman.
I just decided to make it today. I combined some brown sugar and water, let that heat up before adding in some tapioca, starch, and black food coloring. I then return that to the stove until it thickens up before adding the rest of my tapioca starch. Once that was all combined, I poured it onto my counter and started kneading it until it all came together.
Jess, have you ever seen Nara before being memed or
toward anything? The end of the video, I was like, wait, she does look familiar.
Yeah, yeah. I'm like, there's vaguely no way you don't familiar. Know yeah. Miss yeah. Nara.
I think that people know her and they don't realize that because they don't know her name, mm-hmm. but you've seen like the videos and the TikTok. So if you're listening and you're like, do I know Nara Smith? Give it a quick Google. She's pretty instantly recognizable once you see her. She's very beautiful. She's wearing like a beautiful red dress in this one.
Yeah.
She'll wear a gown to cook boba. Her kitchen spotless.
So what do you guys think about Boba Gate? Do you feel like what's going on there for you?
Well, it seems interesting because like it's just a dumb way to copy someone if it's going to be the literal like next day.
Yeah, during the mozzarella cheese incident, I was like, well, you know, they both make stuff from scratch. Mozzarella cheese is like a really well-known entity. I don't know. I feel like Nara's videos usually like take some time to make. If it's coming up the next day, it might just be a coincidence, etc. But I do feel like boba is more specific. If she didn't make a guava boba. If it had been guava boba, that would have been too close. Yeah, then it would have been far too close. But it is weird, I think, to have multiple videos where there's like the same subject matter in general, and then for it to get down to like you both made boba is very specific to me.
Yeah. Like how many things would I have to cook before I'd be like, I guess I'll do a boba video.
But so you guys are saying it looks sus, right?
It's sus. Yeah. Interest peaked.
Interest peaked.
Yeah. Okay.
So post boba gate, Onezwa posts this.
Today, the video that I posted on here was different to the video that I posted on TikTok. In the voiceover on TikTok, I mentioned that I would be taking a break from content creation, and I didn't say it on here because I don't think I'll be leaving the space, but I guess whatever happens after these videos will determine if I stay on here or not. And the reason for me taking a break on that platform is that for months now, I have watched a very, very popular content creator use my ideas. And again, I'm not the first person to do anything. They have continuously used my ideas to get views. Now, that would be fine, except in South Africa, we don't get paid for views. And where she is, they get paid for views. So she has been making money off stealing my content.
Okay. One more thing. So did you hear her voice and how her voice is and all that stuff? So now, that's her saying that Nara Smith is taking her stuff. But in response to this video, a fan really quickly did a before and after, supposedly, of Nara's old videos and Nara's most recent videos.
Before she discovered Onezwa.
Let's start by making the crispy lentils. So I cooked some lentils and then just...
After she started copying Onezwa.
Chocolate cake, so when everyone went to bed, I started baking. I combined some water and butter in a pot.
I guess for me, I'm like, I do feel like that cadence is very TikTok-y in general and like is kind of almost like a content creator cadence. So I don't know if that comparison hits as hard for me because I feel like there are a lot of content creators that
One
do
more
this.
Piece of evidence real
we'll
quick
see. Okay.
Is right last week after Onezwa posted that video, Nara Smith got a little bit of flack, and Nara Smith replied, said, "I've never seen her videos, nor do I follow her. I'm not the first or last person to make boba." But followers were very quickly able to find evidence of an exchange in response to the mozzarella cheese video where Nara Smith commented on Onezwa's post where she had to address and say, "Guys, I'm not copying Nara Smith." And Nara Smith commented the following: "I'm so sorry you have to deal with these comments. Your content is so inspiring."
It's such a trap that you can set for yourself. Don't say that you don't know someone and have never seen their videos if there's even a fucking chance that you have, like, dropped a like on one of their videos.
Right, yeah, and inspiring is a funny word to use.
Mm-hmm. Well, here we fucking go.
Yeah. Yeah, inspired by... I mean, this is a thing that I feel like is kind of a dicey TikTok thing, is that I do feel like the culture of, like, stitching people and, like, everyone participating in a meme and, like, we have a Patreon episode coming up about the, like, looking for a man in finance, and it's like, where does something, I think that TikTok sometimes blends the line between, like, everyone's participating in this one type of thing and, like, oh no, you're literally just stealing this person's ideas.
I feel like, two things, right? I also feel like that is kind of the nature of a lot of TikTok and Instagram, is like people will literally go through, find whatever popular that someone else made and repurpose it for themselves so that they can get views. And something that Onezwa brought up is about the creator program not being available in Africa.
That's
in South Africa and in the entire continent.
Elon Musk should get involved.
Yeah.
Well, Elon Musk has got a lot of things going on.
He's
got
to focus on all 12 of his children.
Not actively not wanting to fuck me. But TikTok says pays popular accounts through its creator fund, but it's only available to users in the US, UK, Germany, France, Spain, or Italy. It's unclear if Smith receives payment through this fund, but she's certainly eligible. She probably does. And considering it
at 8 million followers, she's monetizing that account. You'd be a fool not to.
Yeah, she should. She could be making hundreds of thousands of dollars a month with her views. Again, I thought it was like kind of a racist thing, but I feel like, I mean, as we talked about earlier in this year, like a lot of governments aren't cool with TikTok because it gives China a lot of information, like the Chinese government, a lot of information about users and stuff. So they don't want any money being exchanged. So it's like a little bit more complicated than just pure like
them just them being TikTok like TikTok being like
hates Africa. Yeah. It's apparently with a lot of countries, but that's also the context too of like, this is also what she's saying. Sorry, Jess, I will leave the floor open for you now. What are you thinking? What are your thoughts?
It's a really interesting conversation on like intellectual property. And it's because I think like the like childlike approach that sometimes people take to like borrowing content and ideas from people is like, no, it's all in the spirit of like the love of cooking and the love of jokes or whatever else. But it's like, yeah, but you made money on that joke or that cooking content, like whatever it is.
Yeah, and you have a way bigger account. So even if Nara Smith was to like shout her out and be like, "I got this idea from this person." Yeah. If your account is that much bigger at like 8 million versus I saw she had like a couple hundred thousand.
And I feel like that's post
all of
this.
Yeah, and it's probably gone up. Which is an issue we deal with on the podcast a lot, where we're like, but how many followers did they have before this
it's tough.
Because we're always talking about stuff, and I'm like, they got this now, but is a lot of that from the situation that we're discussing? But I do feel like when you're a big creator that is in the millions of followers, even if you shout the other person out, you're still going to be the person associated with me. Like, people are still going to be like, oh, Nara Smith made boba.
Well, and I wonder if, like, I kind of want to push back on that idea a little bit, because I remember the Emily Mariko salmon bowl. Do you remember that?
I do not remember the Emily Mariko salmon bowl. At least. Wow, cultural blind spot over here. Okay. I don't remember the Emily Mariko salmon bowl.
Salmon bowl. But big, everyone would say when they would make, so she made a version of the salmon bowl, which is pretty fucking good, where it's like sriracha, QP, soy sauce, and then you eat it with avocado and seaweed.
That sounds really good.
It's really good. So what I would see a lot of creators do is they'd be like, I'm going to do Emily Marigo's salmon bowl, and then tag her in the thing and all that stuff. So she's like, this is my twist on Onezwa's boba, or this is my thing, yeah. You know, like that's different. But
if it became a trend of people doing like, we're doing the Onezwa boba, it would. It, yeah. I guess it depends on like if the video sparks that to happen or if it's just a one-off
Nara
thing.
But Nara could spark it to
she
happen.
She could if she wanted to.
So, but for her to be like, I don't even know who this woman is. Yeah. It's like, yeah. Okay.
It's like, that's not true.
And so we talked about like intellectual property, but a lot of people are commenting that the inequity of the following and everything is very related to colorism, which is something that's a very nuanced topic in the Black community where people are treated better for them being like lighter complexioned and stuff. So here's a segment of an article written by Finez S. Holly of The Root titled Black TikTok Drama. Is colorism why we know Nara Smith and not Onezwa Mbola? So this is the segment. Smith is a mixed-race professional model who lives in the U.S. She has created an aesthetic wearing lavish gowns and jewelry while she makes her food. And Bola, on the other hand, is darker skinned and lives on her farm in South Africa where she cares for her livestock and is not afraid to get her hands dirty. Even though the two women have completely different lifestyles, they make similar content. So why do we only see Smith on our For You pages? TikToker Electra Tellis Ford, who's a comedian, and we should bring her on the pod. Just reading
open this invitation. Like, okay.
Open
Electra.
Invitation, Electra. She's always saying good stuff. Electra says it all comes down to the root issue, which is the inequities that seems to be embedded in the TikTok algorithm. Many believe the algorithm favors Smith because of her aesthetic and her lifestyle is more acceptable compared to Mbola, but the drama does not stop there. Since Mbola called Smith out, fans of Smith have begun harassing Mbola's social media. Comments about Mbola's appearance and even calling her a liar have flooded the creator's YouTube page and TikTok. Mbola clapped back saying, I don't participate in likability politics. In her recent TikTok post where she made a chicken stew, and I'll say something dark from that post is that there's one thing where she's like hanging out with the chickens, she picks up a chicken, and then the next scene she's like gutting a chicken. And I'm like, she's really out here making it from
scratch.
She's
really making shit from scratch. So I've never seen Nara imply that she personally killed a chicken.
No, she's not doing any of that shit. Thoughts?
I think obviously what she's saying is right. I mean, there's been tons of talk in general about how the TikTok algorithm favors like pretty thin white women in general. And then I also feel like there's another layer to it where like Nara's life, because she's living this like pretty rich, thin model, Mormon husband, little whatever life is like, it reads as aspirational to people in a way that Onezwa's maybe doesn't, even though, like, I find it more interesting to see what someone on a South African farm, like, does to make things from scratch. Like, that's actually just kind of more interesting to me. But Nara Smith is able to be aspirational because she's in the West Elm kitchen with a marabou robe and...
Yeah, agreed. It's like, there's a lot of, like, intersections here where it's, like, it's a class thing where it's, like, someone who maybe depends on, like, her own farm and, resources and like actually is like, no, this is what I have and this is what I'm, and it's like that's really inspiring and cool. But I think that aspirational thing where instead someone just being like, I don't know, just because I can went and picked up these ingredients is like inspiring in a different way. Like people are like, oh, I want to live that life.
I'm inspired to, like, to be rich.
I want to be rich. Live like more people can also like go to the grocery store and buy milk. Not everyone has like 15 goats, and a chicken to kill.
Can I say, this is a tangent, but I do, I was inspired by what you said. I was in therapy last week, Zoom. I still do virtual mentally therapy.
Mentally
ill Hispanic women, et cetera. Listen, I practice what I preach. I'm a mentally ill Hispanic woman. I'm in therapy.
Both of us.
And there was like a loud rooster sound happening, like a lot in the background of my therapy. And so I had to stop my therapist, who I've been with for many years, again, mentally ill. And I said, like, is there a rooster? And it was during the session that I found out that my therapist, like, has a rooster and, like, has, like, a lot of chickens. And one of them I guess they didn't realize it was a rooster until it was too late. And now they have this rooster. And I was like, okay, is it like in the house? And she's like, yeah, he wanders around. And so now I'm kind of dealing with the fact that I know that my therapist has a loose rooster that wanders around her house.
Loose rooster.
Well,
so what do we think of that? Violate
HIPAA, and also, you all the quizzes have indicated that me and Elise also have ADHD. Mm,
sure, sure.
And I don't know what to do about that, Elise.
I think loose rooster is definitely a good name for your wild friend.
Yeah,
now.
Yeah.
Loose rooster.
She's the loose rooster of the group.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. Wow. She loves the cock.
Yeah. A little aggressive.
Yeah. A little aggressive. Loud. Usually harmless.
Yeah. But she protects the flock, and that's why we have to have her around.
Yeah. And I'm also curious if it's like, if that's mentally helpful for your therapist, and why, if it is, your therapist hasn't recommended you get a chicken.
So true. If she's loving raising chickens, why isn't she telling me to raise chickens? Yeah. I guess she knows that I am in an apartment in Bed-Stuy, but
you have a cat and a dog.
Yeah, I don't know how they would react to there being a chicken or a loose rooster. I do not think they would like
the cat
loose
rooster. Just got around to not fighting the dog every day.
Yeah, your cat's kind of a loose rooster.
Yeah. Well, I would say of the two, the cat definitely has more of a loose rooster energy because she will fight. Yeah.
Does anyone have any thoughts about colorism?
Okay, well, now that we've got the really important topic of my therapist's rooster.
Let's see. Well, I saw Passing on Netflix.
Thank you, Jess. Moving on.
Jess, everyone in the studio is standing up. We're clapping for Jess.
I did it.
I'll say this. I didn't watch Passing on Netflix. I did not watch Passing on Netflix. Maybe I should.
I saw it at the New York Film Festival.
Wow.
And we'll talk back with Tessa Thompson after.
Wow. So you went to the talk back.
Yeah. She's not the talk back. Well, guys, I don't think this is going to be the final update, but 3 days ago, Onezwa posted a Twitter that says, Nara Smith is suing me for defamation.
Oh, no.
So this is the email that Onezwa posted on her Twitter. Dear Onezwa and Bola, I hope this email finds you well. I think this is a funny email, so I'm going to.
Yeah.
I'm writing to address a serious matter regarding your statements accusing me of stealing your content. You have publicly claimed that I stole your videos related to boba tea and mozzarella cheese, which is untrue and damaging to my reputation. These allegations are entirely false. The videos in question are not my original creations, and I have all the necessary proof of this on the social media platform TikTok. Your false accusations have caused significant harm to my personal and professional reputation. This email serves as a formal notice that if you do not retract your statements and cease making these defamatory claims immediately, I will have no choice but to pursue legal action against you for defamation of character. I strongly urge you to take this matter seriously and to address it promptly to avoid further legal consequences. I expect your prompt response and a public retraction of your false claims. Sincerely, Nara Smith.
Ooh.
Now I'm going to read it again in her voice. Dear Onezwa, I'm kidding. So, what do you guys think about
Here's how you make a lawsuit from scratch.
First, make false claims.
I love doing, I hope this email finds you well. I am suing you.
I hope it finds you well so I can change that.
Yeah, exactly. Because you're not going to be well when you're at the end of this paragraph because I'm fucking rich.
So what's the verdict? Do you think that Nara Smith copied Onezwa? Do you think Onezwa is making false claims? Do you think that Would you make mozzarella cheese from scratch? Is it worth it?
I don't think I'll ever make mozzarella cheese from scratch now.
Okay.
Not when I've seen where it can go.
A lot of trepidation because I fear Nara Smith might sue me. I don't know. It feels very much like how they say, like, whoever wins the war, like, gets to write the history or whatever. And so because she's a bigger account and she has more resources, it's just like, I win.
Yeah.
If I had to guess, I would say that Nara Smith does use this woman's videos to some degree for inspiration, but she did not view it as stealing.
Yeah.
She viewed it as inspiration. So to then be accused of stealing, she's like, I'm not stealing it. Anyone can make boba. And it's like, totally. But when you have a pattern of doing the same videos as a smaller creator over and over again, that person's obviously going to have some type of feeling about it. If it was just the boba video, I would be like, well, yeah, maybe she saw it and was like, oh, I'd like to make boba too. But it's about...
I went to a workshop one time about like intellectual property, and they talked about how like, if I wrote a screenplay about like a dog that's a superhero, I don't now own the concept of a dog being a superhero. And so if Elise went on to write, you know, even if we're good friends and, you know, she knows that I wrote a screenplay about a dog being a superhero, I would have to be able to prove, no, she stole lines of dialogue. She stole like character names and interactions and very specific stuff. And so, to Nara's credit, like she did, like, you know,
legally speaking,
the concept of making mozzarella cheese or boba isn't, you know, off the table forever. And it's like, so basically, like, if the tables were turned and the lawsuit was against Nara, I don't think that, I think Nara would probably win.
Yeah, because she's changed enough. You like, she would have to, it would have to be proven.
It'd have to be guava bubbles.
Yeah.
Or guava boba. I also say this, we talked about the toothpaste and the ketchup and the lotion, and not Onezwa, but there's another creator named Enzilla, who's also South African, I think. And she does like the lollipops from scratch and all that stuff. So it seems like, you know, there is.
My guess would be she saves a bunch of it, like that she is, because of her TikTok, she is on making stuff from scratch TikTok in general, that she saves inspiration to her from other people's accounts. And what is like, oh, I can do this. I'll do my own version, whatever. I think that's probably how she's thinking of it. But I think if you're going to do that, number one, you have to put like major distance between your video and the other person's video.
But the thing
video.
Is, she's doing it one day after.
Yeah, like doing it one
after.
Day after. It's like, that sucks, because also you are kind of stomping on that other person's video too, because yours is going to go, she has 8 million followers, it's going to go way more viral. And like, once you get to that 8 million follower range, I do think you also have to be more judicious about like, okay, is it right for me to do super similar videos to what other people have done? Because she's right in that, like, no one owns making anything from scratch. Like people, that information is publicly available. Mm-hmm. But I do think there is something that when you go from, like, just regular TikToker to, like, mega, mega, mega creator, like Nara Smith is, you have to put extra guardrails around like what you take inspiration from, how you use that inspiration, when you're going to post those videos that were inspired, how you maybe credit or whatever, which I think is something that happens online when you kind of become, I mean, she's been popular for a while, but I feel like this year she's become insanely popular and a meme and all that stuff, that maybe it's like, you have to take a moment and sit back down and think critically about, oh, is it right for me to do my versions of other people's videos anymore? Or do I need to start pulling my inspiration from somewhere else?
And the biggest caveat is Nara Smith is 22. So I think we
that's the biggest drop.
That's the biggest drop. She's 22 and she has three kids. So
I wonder if there's like a collective consciousness, because I think there is with like, you know, comedians doing like pop culture stuff where it's like the second there was that earthquake in New York, we were all like, what's my content?
I need a video immediately about the earthquake.
What's my take on the earthquake? You know, and it's like, and everyone's doing like a Chapel Roan thing right now. I am. Like, everybody is, you know, but that's because it's like, there's timestamps and it's like, it's having a moment or whatever. And so I wonder if in like, just because I don't think any of us are also making, you know, while I have diversified my portfolio, I've not yet made it into the
cooking from scratch
side of TikTok. If there's some sort of collective consciousness where it's like, oh, every creator is doing mozzarella right now.
Everybody's got to do their spin on mozzarella. Yeah.
Well, I imagine that like during, it's, you know, it's like during summer, there's salads. During winter, it's like I'm sure it's stuff like
there's
that.
There's got to be trends in like what people are making from scratch.
And like what's and seasonal. Too. But I think it is like, oh, like this person went viral with this. I'm going to make my version of that, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
Like BBL Drizzy. But
I feel like once you get to Nara's level, you have to be more careful with that kind of stuff. Okay. We're moving on from the discourse.
Yeah.
Gorgeous. I have a really short Polita TikTok, and then we'll do our grasshole. So Polita TikTok is our segment where we talk about something at the intersection of politics and social media. Mm-hmm. And today I am bringing you guys a story out of Vermont, out of the State House of Vermont, or I guess maybe, I think it's just regular House of Representatives, but the Vermont representatives. Today's episode is about Rep. Mary Morrissey. She's a Republican rep from Vermont, which must be hard already.
Mm-hmm. I feel bad for her.
Also. Yeah, it's probably gotta be tough. She's had to issue a formal apology after she was caught on camera regularly dumping a full glass of water into her political opponent's tote bag.
I've seen this.
I rescind my I feel bad for her already.
No, I don't.
So basically, this woman, she's super anti-abortion. Go figure. And this guy, Rep. Jim Carroll, who's a Democrat, is pro and also voted, like, Vermont voted to enshrine abortion in its constitution, which shouldn't be, I mean, it's Vermont. Like, they're gonna be doing that. So the way that she expressed her displeasure about this is that every day, or like a couple of times a week, but sometimes it would be every day, she would go over to his tote bag in, like, I guess, whatever.
Which is sacred in Vermont.
Yeah, to mess with someone's tote bag, that's so true. In Vermont, to mess with someone's tote bag, that's really a slap in the face. So she would go to his tote bag, and she would dump a full glass of water in it, and I'm going to show you guys the video now.
Yeah, yeah.
So he has just left his tote bag unattended. And she poured a full glass of water in it.
And she did this every day for 9 months.
You are not that far off. She did it almost every day. Full gestation period. She did it almost every day for 5 months.
Wow.
So, but he put a nanny cam. I think that he put it because he was like,
yes.
Why is all my papers wet?
I love that he like stayed true to himself and to Vermont and said, well, I'm not getting a bag that closes.
No.
I'm not changing the bag. I'm going to figure out what's going on here. So yeah, she was caught on camera. That was one video. She was caught on camera doing it twice. She was doing it regularly from January through May. And he did say that it was happening sometimes every day.
What did he put in the bag?
I don't know.
Because if I put an iPad in my tote and some crusty bitch is like filling a full glass of water, I'm going to fight.
Wait,
yeah.
Or he should just put all those little like bathtub toys that way bigger when you get them wet. Spooker.
This bitch, she thinks that that's a human life.
I mean, literally.
Bathtub toys that expand in water.
I do feel like if for 5 months regularly my bag was full, had a full glass of water poured into it, I think maybe month two I would have.
I would say day four.
Yeah, time number four where I was like, hey, has anyone noticed there's, I would be like, is there a leak in the ceiling? Like, what's going on that my bag, is anybody else experiencing their bag having like a large amount of water in it?
Yeah, I want to hear every single person who works there's like take on it.
Yeah.
I also love in the video that like she did it moments after he walked away from his own bag. Like she was empowered to do this. She did issue an apology saying, I am truly ashamed for my actions. It was conduct unbecoming of my position as a representative and as a human being, and it is not reflective of my 28 years of service and civility. My guess is she's been doing weird shit like this for a long time.
Yeah.
But my favorite detail about all of this is that this man, the Democratic representative, was her paper boy growing up. And she like knows his parents and his family, and they all went to the same church together. So that's, I think,
that's
why she
deep-seated hatred.
Paperboy, and you know what happens when you get a newspaper wet?
Wow,
so true. Maybe he delivered a wet newspaper to her. And that's why she's doing
this. That in her spirit forever.
I guess apparently she at one point like came up to him after this vote and she was like, your dead parents would be ashamed that you voted for abortion. And
he didn't abort his parents.
Yeah. No, like parents are dead. Babies are dead. Move on. Get a life.
Yeah. And then she's like, I have a letter from 20 years ago from your parents where they said that they're against abortion. And
okay,
it's like,
well, they're dead.
And it's like, why do you have this letter? Number one. Number two, maybe they have a difference of opinion on this. Number three, I don't believe that. Yes. Right. Number three, you're lying.
I had a letter and it got wet. So shut the fuck up.
And yeah, he wasn't originally going to make the video public, but once the story was broken, he did make it public as because he felt that he needed to be transparent to his constituents and to Vermonters. So, I mean, final thoughts on... pouring a single glass of water into your enemy's tote bag every day for 5 months.
I mean, I don't hate it.
The thing is, I'm
it's
like,
a different, unique way of bullying. But this is what I'm saying. Vermont and their tote bags, that shit did not leak out. You know what I'm saying? And yeah. It was a good, sturdy tote bag. You know, it was that real thick canvas. Yeah. I'm just saying, like, that's like the, like, Trader Joe's wishes they could have those $2.99 tote bags, like, not
be. Yeah,
you should
get in touch with whoever made the tote bag.
Yeah, that's the best fucking ad. Yeah.
That's so true because if the tote bag was not a good tote bag, then everyone's bags would have been getting messed up and it would have been a way bigger situation. But it seems like he was really the only person who even realized this was happening. And that really does speak to the impermeable qualities of this tote bag. Mm-hmm.
Durable.
Drop the link.
It's probably L.L. Bean. It's probably an L.L. Bean.
It looked like an L.L. Bean.
It's also awesome that he got like the summer bag from last year.
Oh, wow.
Like that was the tote.
Wow.
But again, Vermont, they're serious about their tote bags and abortion.
Well.
So, and that's what she was upset about. Okay. We're now going to move on to our final segment, which is called Grasshole of the Week. This is the person who needs to log off the most. So our last person, her behavior was analog. So she's not a grasshole because she didn't need the internet to do what she did. Yeah. She went old school, with her pranks and her crimes.
Yeah, IRL bullying.
Yeah, she said, I'm going to do this to you for real. But this grasshole of the week is someone who must log off, who must reevaluate their relationship with the internet. And for the second time ever, I would say that our grasshole this week, their identity is not fully known to us. They could kind of be anyone. They could be among us right now. I don't think it was Andrew or Jess or Millie, but I don't know.
End of that.
And it could be me. So this week's grasshole is whoever got the Poo Crave Twitter account taken down.
Wow.
So, there are a couple layers of things you need to know before we can discuss this week's grasshole. Number one, and most importantly, Justin Timberlake was arrested for a DUI in the Hamptons. This weekend. He said he'd only had one martini, but the Gen Z cop that arrested him and did not recognize him said that he was in no shape to drive. Timberlake also reportedly told the cop, "This is going to ruin the tour," to which the cop replied, "What tour?" To which Justin replied, The world tour. And a major meme was born of this. Have you guys engaged with this meme?
We've engaged with the meme.
Everyone loves the world tour meme.
Yeah.
We're having a lot of fun with it. Okay, the second thing that you need to know is that Pop Crave is a very popular celebrity news Twitter account that often breaks celebrity news. Mm-hmm. So a lot of people follow Pop Crave, but even if you don't, Pop Crave will end up your feed because it gets retweeted and all that stuff. Third is that Poo Crave is a parody of Pop Crave.
And it has the same picture and logo.
Tweets fake celebrity news pretty much to try and trick you.
Yeah.
Like, that's why it exists.
Yeah.
For sure. And they finally did it. The bastards did it.
They got Elise.
They got me. I was tricked by this. Many, maybe even millions were tricked by this. Poo Crave tweeted, "Justin Timberlake allegedly had traces of Molly, Poppers, Truvada, and Coke in his bloodstream following his DWI arrest in New York." So
so they took an element of the truth,
which is that he had this arrest,
a bunch of other stuff, including Truvada, which is PrEP. which is...
I wanted to believe it. Sometimes you see something and you want to believe it.
And, you know, has it been fully disproven?
Oh, my gosh.
We don't... The thing is, we don't actually know what was in his system. So, okay, yeah, many people...
Well, the martini.
Well, we do know about the one martini. But my thing is, like, one martini can rock your world if it's done right.
The right martini, yeah.
Yeah, if it's not... I'm like, well, I'm not driving after... So, there are martinis that I've had where it said, I need to be picked up.
Yeah.
And also, it's the Hamptons. Like, you know that martini was $27. And, like, okay, should a martini be $27? No. But I'll say this. Sometimes those $27 martinis hit.
Yeah,
they
heavy
hit.
Pour. Yeah, served in a glass this big.
Yeah,
yeah. He, I don't know if I believe one martini, but even if it was, it's like, well, show me the martini. Let me take a sip of that bad boy and see what we're working with here.
One martini and how many lines were, you know?
I mean, and that's there you go. The big question. So, okay. A bunch of people fell for the Poo Crave tweet, including myself. I did text it to Millie and then basically immediately saw that it was Poo Crave and not Pop Crave. And so I just wrote back, damn, sorry, that's not Pop Crave. It's Poo Crave. The bastards got me.
And that was like, okay.
Yeah, I was just like, sorry. I went through this whole journey because I texted her, immediately realized, and I was like, sorry, Poo Crave got me. God damn
it. Like, that's how I found out that Justin Timberlake did get arrested.
Wow. For the thing. I didn't know.
So I looked on the internet. I'm like, oh, okay, maybe he didn't have Truvada and Molly in his system, but he did get arrested, and there was a real perp walk. And that's why they were able to trick people, because it was, again, an element of the truth.
It was amidst all of the news about this arrest coming out that Poo Crave was able to slip in there with one of their little tricks.
Classic poo.
So the tweet was viewed 7.2 million times. It was retweeted and quoted 13,000 times. So this went big. And this wasn't like the first time Poo Crave has tricked a lot of people, but this was definitely
the biggest.
Because then I started to see a lot of people tweeting about the Poo Crave tweet and being like, the greatest minds of our generation have been fooled by a Poo Crave tweet. That one stuck with me because I was fooled. So.
You are the greatest.
And I'm one of our great minds. And then Just Tom did tweet, being fooled by a Poo Crave tweet isn't media literacy. It's just straight up illiteracy. And I was like, okay, well, okay, Josh. But as all of this kerfluffle was going down, so June 18th, the Justin tweet goes up. June 19th, the tweet spreads. June 20th, Pop Crave is disabled on Twitter. Poo Crave. Sorry.
There we go
again.
Oh my God,
it's happened again.
Poo Crave.
Poo Crave's account is disabled. Poo Crave is silenced.
Wow.
As a result.
I thought we lived in
here.
America.
Right? We're about to study America. Study. We're about to celebrate America's birthday and study.
And study.
And study what our founding fathers put in place for us. And we're still being silenced. Poo Crave is still being silenced. So Poo Crave gets silenced. Uh-huh. The account is taken down. Basically, later that day, the account does come back.
Yeah. So we do live in America.
So we do, you know, justice prevailed in this case.
Is the tweet still there?
No, the tweet is gone. The tweet is no longer there.
Was that Smith cease and desist?
Exactly. The tweet has been removed, and Poo Crave is back to tweeting its normal poo. Which, you know, sometimes the poo hits for me. Sometimes I'm like, I don't know who wrote
sometimes
this
you're
one.
You're constipated. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. But the Justin Timberlake Truvada tweet will live in infamy. So our final questions kind of are, who do we think got the Poo Crave Twitter shut down? I feel like top suspects are Justin Timberlake and his legal team. Of course. Twitter HQ, aka is it Elon Musk involved? Or third kind of option is maybe it was reported by people who were salty about being tricked enough times that sort of an automated system kicked in.
You don't think Pop Crave would
that's true. It could also be Pop Crave.
Pissed off because they're like taking the likeness.
Yeah, and it's like the legitimacy of our
reputation.
Yeah.
They're real journalistic integrity by commenting that Dua Lipa ate a salad today. Yeah.
Yeah, that is interesting. I didn't even think about that. It could have been Pop Crave specifically that got them shut down. I feel like it was probably Maybe it's Justin Timberlake, but I'm also like
Justin Timberlake because he is on a world tour and he hasn't canceled it a la J-Lo. But so I feel like, and it could be damaging. And again, Elon's got a lot going on. Yeah. That motherfucker has 12 kids to ignore. So.
Wow. Yeah. I mean, I feel like I don't even remember life before the poo got wiped.
But, Jesus Christ.
But.
Yes.
I mean, okay. Justin Timberlake, for one, whatever man he was sleeping with.
Mm, so true.
Who doesn't want that to be revealed? Could be bigoted Justin Timberlake stans who are like, Justin Timberlake's not gay.
Yeah, Justin Timberlake would never take Travolta.
I just feel like Justin Timberlake, I'm going to say I'm not a bigoted Justin Timberlake fan. I'm sorry. This is during Pride. Justin Timberlake is the kind of chaotic asshole that could only be a straight man. That's just my thing. Maybe could be bi. We don't know. Is that, you know, whatever. But I'm just like, the fact that he got Britney Spears to get an abortion and then played guitar at her while she was healing. That's something that was revealed in her memoir. That is something only a purely straight Kinsey One can do. Okay. I'm sorry.
Well, you know what? He also is in The Social Network.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And he plays the founder of Rhapsody. So
Napster.
Napster.
And like, we can say that because our friend is the founder of Napster's sister.
Yeah.
Whoa. Okay. So yes. Your friend's brother maybe is like, I don't want to be associated with that. Or even, you know,
So you're putting Sean Parker in the mix.
Sean Parker is not out of the question.
Okay.
And also that movie, you know, he famously says, and one more thing, drop the So it could be, it could be Zuckerberg.
It could be Zuckerberg.
It could be Zuckerberg. It could always it could be Zuckerberg.
But is Zuckerberg paying attention to Twitter?
I don't know. I feel like he's all on Threads now.
He's getting a katana in Japan.
Splashing around
right now.
He's got not a care in the world.
Huge Hawaiian compound.
You know, ever since you suggested, I'm like, maybe it was Pop Crave that did it.
I think it might be Pop Crave.
Because I do feel like they probably have the most, because here's my thinking. It's like, Justin has a lot on his plate right now. His team has a lot on their plate right now, given that he's been arrested and like the world tour is ruined and he's a meme and like it's not good and his like reputation was already really bad because of all the Britney Spears stuff
and the Janet Jackson stuff
honestly rumors of him being gay or bi or queer in any way might be like, this is great for us, can we run with it?
Especially during Pride it could bring him back
like it could be like, no, he was drinking because he has like so much internalized homophobia.
No, his wife just got a bob, like you just can't get straighter than that. Sorry, Elise.
She's getting closer and closer to like a military male haircut.
No, I'm sorry, the bob, she got a fuck ass bob. I'm sorry, you don't get it's too sorry Elise
I know it's two okay seconds. I'm committed to my fuck ass bob, but I understand.
Jessica Biel got a fuck ass bob.
The community.
She got a fuck ass bob, and that bob, that straight woman, that bob is like, you better not forget her honey mustard at the fucking restaurant.
And that's what I was trying to communicate when I got the haircut. Yeah, I'm starting to feel like Pop Crave probably had the most grounds to like file a report through Twitter's like known channels and then get it dealt with. And if other people were reporting it because it tricked them, because I do think some people they don't like getting tricked.
Yeah.
If other people reported it, like I reported it hundreds of times.
Well, clearly when you shared, like, it's like, well, millions of people also fell for this. And there's a tweet saying the greatest minds of our generation.
So like, it's actually fine. And it actually shows that I'm like really, really smart. Yeah, that I fell for the Poo Crave tweet. But okay, my final question is, do we think that Poo Crave should have been shut down for this? Did they violate an ethical boundary in any way?
You know what? I think it's really weird that they, like, if they were just, I mean, I don't follow Poo Crave.
Wow.
And I don't even have X.
Wow.
I deleted it a long time ago for my own health.
Wow.
And
clearly I don't care because mentally health.
But I am like, oh, cool, like a Pop Crave parody account. They should say things like Dua Lipa, like rode the Titan at Six Flags or whatever.
Yeah, and
like,
Jason Derulo fell off in the stairs.
Yeah, like truly unhinged stuff. And so like this one is like, So the joke is that he's like maybe gay or whatever, like,
or just they found a bunch of shit in his sister. That's like,
and it's like that's not particularly interesting or outlandish. Mm-hmm. It's like, oh, that is like somewhat realistic, and it's almost like a means of just like outing him or something.
Yeah, kind of, like, yeah. I guess that is the root of the joke, is like we're outing Justin Timberlake, yeah. Which is like. Mm.
So this is my thought, right? We do live, and I'm going to say this. I'm going to caveat this with saying that I did get a cease and desist from Bumble because my satire website that I helped create, I'm no longer the editor for it, but I was an editor in chief for a long time. They did make a article that said that this feature on Bumble shows which white people actually showed up to the Black Lives Matter protest and which just posted a black square. When Bumble became an IPO, they found me, served me multiple cease and desist, and it was a scary time for me. And I'm gonna circle it back. But we live in the U.S. of A., goddammit. And we have something called parity law.
Yeah.
Where if you can prove that a reasonable person cannot believe this, then it's protected by our First Amendment rights.
So I guess the question is, am I a reasonable person?
No. We've said that multiple times that you're not. But I'm kidding.
I want Weird Al's take on this.
No, but I hear what you're saying in that, is it parody? Now, I think the thing is, like, can Poo Crave exist? Yes. Is what that said is, like, what is the joke? And then you're right. It's like, oh, that Justin Timberlake skate, not really funny, kind of corny, whatever. But can Poo Crave exist at all?
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. I do feel that Poo Crave can exist. Absolutely. That we can live in a world with Poo Crave. We've talked a lot about people who try to like basically lie online and then they're like, it was a skit.
Oh,
and it's
yeah.
like anything that you have to have something that's a tell that yeah. like it's yeah. parody. And I do think the fact that the account is called Poo Crave is the tell that this is not a legit account. But it's also funny because if Elon Musk hadn't fucked up the blue check of it all.
Yep. We'd be in a
better situation because Poo Crave does have a blue check.
Yeah. Oh, wow. But you can buy a blue check.
Yeah.
But before, only blue checks went to like reputable sources.
So Poo Crave wouldn't have the blue check and it would be more easy to identify. So it's all Elon Musk's fault.
Guys, everything is Elon Musk. At the end of the day, everything's Elon Musk's fault. And I'm not just saying that because I want to fuck him. I'm saying that because it's true.
Can I bring attention to the fact I was so enthralled with this conversation that I needed to add? I don't know.
Absolutely.
How audibly I'm heard right now. But in, because I was curious what the bio of Poo Crave is, it does say spinning in a whirlwind of pop parody chaos. So
Wow.
Okay, guys. Producer Andrew just came in to tell
Andrew
us.
Producer Andrew just came in with hot info.
Hot info.
Hot poo.
Hot poo. Poo Crave's bio specifically refers to itself as pop parody.
Yeah.
So with that, it's like,
well,
I think they're protected.
They're protected by parody law, baby.
They're protected.
Just like I was. Thank you, Onion's legal team, for helping me out with that one.
It is weird, though, because it's like, how many people, and maybe with analytics, not maybe, they definitely with analytics could prove like how many people retweeted this, quote tweeted it.
They had 7 million views on this tweet.
Without like a profile view. You know what I mean? Like, how many people reposted it without being like, let me double check first to make sure this isn't a parody site.
Yeah.
Or whatever.
But sometimes people did know or like just like, this is funny, LOL.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, it's hard. You can't, of those 7 million views, how many are people who knowingly were engaging with it as parody and how many were people like me who were sending it to Millie and then being like, oh, God damn it, it's Poo Crave.
They found Truvada in his system.
Oh my God, it's fucking Poo Crave. God damn it. Those fuckers got me.
I'm sure Poo Crave is right.
Yeah.
And I'm confident it was Pop Crave.
Well,
all right. Well, to whoever got Poo Crave taken down for less than 24 hours, go touch grass. Guys, this has been another wonderful episode of the podcast.
Jess, where can we find you?
You know, I have a monthly show called Hail Mary at Asylum.
Nice.
Which is super fun. And I'm on a Herald team at UCB.
Wow.
And I'm going to the Edinburgh Fringe Festival this August.
Nice.
That's so exciting. And if people want to follow you online, where do they?
Oh, you can.
We're not talking about the real world, Jess. Yeah, we are not online. In IRL.
Oh, sorry. I thought it was for people who wanted to go touch grass.
No.
Okay, for people who want to stay online, you can follow me on all socials except for X at Jess_Elgene.
Wow, there you go. Got that sweet underscore.
Maybe J.K. Rowling will go to your show in Edinburgh.
That'd be fun. I'd love to see her.
I'd love to call her in.
Yeah, call her in.
J.K. Rowling has been one of our grass holes, and I think is probably a candidate for like ultimate grass hole, like someone who just is permanently in... needs to be removed from the internet. Guys, I'm still on the internet.
Yeah.
No one's removing me.
And so are we, the podcast.
I'll leave kicking and screaming. You can find me at Pandalise on Instagram, at Elise Navidad on TikTok, and this podcast at Go Touch Grass Pod on everything.
And you can find me at Millie_Tamarez on Instagram and TikTok. And you can find me because I am proudly American and mentally ill and Hispanic. You can find me on X at Millie_Tamarez. Please engage with the tweet and tell these losers to go fuck up.
And tell them in a way that doesn't suggest that Millie looks also, like Elon Musk.
He's also bad and ugly.
Beautiful.
Till then,
go touch grass.
Woo! That was a HeadGum podcast.